ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 90, entitled Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories, Text 32, 33, and 34. Tesham Uddama Viryanam तेषां उद्दाम वीर्याणां अष्टादश महारथाः आसन् उदार यशसः तेषां नामानि मे शृणु तेषाम् उद्दामवीर्याणाम् अष्टादश महारथाः आसन् उदारयशसः तेषाम् नामानि मे शृणु तेषामुद्दाम वीर्याणाम् अष्टादश महारथाः आसन्नुदारयशसः तेषाम् नामानि मे शृणु। उद्दामवीर्याणाम् अष्टादश महारथाः आसन् उदारयशसः तेषां नामानि मे शृणु। माताजी तेषामुद्दामवीर्याणाम् अष्टादश महारथाः Esham Uddhama Viryana Ashtadasha Maha Tesham of these sons, Uddhama, unlimited, Viryanam, whose prowess, Ashtadasha, 18, Maharathaha, Maharathas, the highest class of chariot warriors, Asan, were Udara, widespread, Yashasaha, whose fame, Tesham, their Namani, names, may, from me, Shunu, hear. Among these sons, all possessing unlimited valor, 18 were Maharathas of great renown. Now hear their names from me. Pradyumnascha niruddhascha Diptiman Bhanurevacha Sambo Madhur Brihadbhanus Chitrabhanus Vrukorunaha Pushkaro Vedabahuscha Shutadeva Sunandanaha Chitrabahur Virupascha Kavirnyagrodha evacha. They were Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Diptiman, Bhanu, Samba, Madhu, Brihadbhanu, Chitrabhanu, Bhruka, Aruna, Pushkara, Vedabahu, Shrutadeva, Sunandana, Chitrabahu, Virupa, Kavi, and Yagrodha. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the Aniruddha mentioned here is Lord Krishna's son, not his well-known grandson through Pradyumna. That is the purport. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamahyam Dadati Svapadantika Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tamsajivam, Savaduta, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Jaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Bada, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostu Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatar Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevaja पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर निवासदि गौर भक्त। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। When there is a one line purport, it gives you a lot of scope and independence to speak what you want. But independence also means a lot of responsibility. In the other species of life, there is not much independence. They work based on instinct. A cow will die but not eat meat. A tiger will die but not eat grass. But human being is omnivorous. He has a choice to be herbivorous, carnivorous or omnivorous. So, I'll try to speak something. This is the concluding chapter of the 10th canto, which is the biggest or the largest canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this describes practically the whole life, right from the background of appearance of Lord Krishna to his Vrindavan activities in the first 40 chapters approximately. Next 10 chapters about his Mathura Leela. And the last 40 chapters talk about his Dwarka Leela. And this chapter is the summary of Lord Krishna's glories. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that Sukadeva Goswami is trying to end this canto on a very sweet note. Madhurena Samapayet. It's natural, after a nice meal, that you want to keep the best item for the last, so that it leaves a very pleasant taste. So similarly, after describing so many activities, some of them are ghastly, killing of putana. Some of them are very chivalrous. And after all rasas, Krishna is a rasaraj. All rasas in its purest form, most relishing way, is available in Krishna. But Sukadeva Goswami is concluding this canto with the very sweet pastimes of Krishna along with his 16,108 queens amidst the extremely opulent and beautiful environment of Dwarka. It is described even in what to speak of heavenly planets. Even in Vaikuntha, the opulence was not available as was seen in Dwarka during the time of Lord Krishna. So, in this chapter, the first part that we are actually discussing, we are concluding almost, discuss the intimate and very loving exchanges of Krishna with his queens in the opulent atmosphere of Dwarka. And then the queens express very, very high level of ecstatic love, which Rupa Goswami classifies in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjwala Nilmani, etc., which is analysis of the emotions of bhakti in a very, very analytical, scientific manner. All emotions are not same. Every emotion is like a rasa. It's like a taste. Just like all juice are not same. Can't say that grape juice is same as mango juice. Mango juice is... all are juices, but all have a very special flavor. Similarly, our emotions. Relationship is like a fruit. And the loving exchanges in a relationship is like the juice. We all want to have fruits. But the purpose of that fruit is we want to extract the juice. We are attracted to a particular type of fruit depending on the type of juice we are attached to. So similarly, relationship is like a fruit. So dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. Predominant relationships. And within that there are finer subtle tastes. Like you have little pickle and some kind of chutney. These are like additions. That's not a main ingredient. You don't eat pickle as a main item of the to fulfill your... that's additional taste. So there are 7 sub-rasas and 5 principal rasa. That's like rice dal sabji. And then there is all these additional tastes. So this particular place, Madhurya Ras, is being experienced. And a taste of viraha, even though Krishna is present right in front of them, they are experiencing a highest form of love and separation. One aspect of that love and separation is called prema vaichitya, wherein even though the beloved is sitting right in front, there is a fear that you may lose that person, and therefore there is anxiety. And these queens go into that ecstasy, which is a very, very high level of love of God. And wherever they look and see something, they're trying to impose their feeling. They see the Kurari bird crying. Said, I know why you are crying. You are feeling like us, I think. And the clouds are showering rain. Yeah, I know you are also crying. We are also crying. I can understand what you are doing. We can understand. The ocean, throughout night you don't sleep, keep on like that. Just like we don't get sleep and we also are agitated and disturbed. In this way they are. In one sense, like mad. It's total madness. From an external point of view, it is madness. But this is madness after Krishna, ultimately. So, that is called the Mahishi Gita. It's like the Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita. This is called 10 beautiful verses spoken by the queens of Dwarka in ecstatic love, anticipating feeling of separation from Krishna. And that is called Mahishi Gita. Then there is description of the opulence of the power of the Yadu dynasty. How powerful they were. How strong they were. Absolutely undefeatable by anyone on this planet. Sheer number. What to speak of they being associates of the Lord. Actually, when the Lord comes into this world, some eternal associates of the Lord from the spiritual world also come. Some demigods do come, assisting the Lord in his pastime and thus perfecting their life also. And some perfected devotees who are purifying themselves, they also join the pastime. So none of these devotees
are ordinary devotees. None of these personalities are ordinary. They are all extremely powerful. And then empowered by the Lord. It's therefore unimaginable. Nobody can actually touch them. What to speak of harming them. Without the approval, permission and, you know, allowing of the Lord doing it. Even Mahavishnu. Actually, when Arjuna is coming back from Mahavishnu Loka after retrieving the dead son of the Brahmanas, 9 dead son of Brahmanas along with the 10th one were retrieved by Krishna and Arjuna, who went to cross this material existence and went into Vaikuntha of Mahavishnu planet and from there retrieved. While returning, Arjuna was thinking, he said, hey, what did I see and what did I hear? Like a dream for him. He said, we went, myself and Krishna, we went and offered our respects to Krishna, respects to Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu also offered his respect and he said, I am so happy to see you. He felt extremely fortunate to have vision of Krishna. And he said, I stole the Brahmana's son just to have your darshan, my Lord. Familiarity breeds contempt, you know, too much. And then start thinking, Krishna, you know, I always called you my friend, dear Keshava. Hey Krishna, hey Yadava, hey Sakheti, Ajanata Mahimanam Tavedam. I thought you were an ordinary person. But then he started thinking, why did Mahavishnu say, it's my good fortune, I stole the Brahmanas just to have your darshan. So he was trying to analyze this statement. Trying to understand. He said, to steal the Brahmanas' sons, Mahavishnu came to Dwarka. Abhi Dwarka aaya to darshan karke jao na. You have come all the way from Mahavishnu Loka to have to steal one Brahmana's son. Aaya to Bombay aaya hai to Gateway of India dekke jao. Kulavata ka pahunch gaye ho. So why didn't he have? And then he realized, without the permission of Krishna, no one can have darshan of Krishna. If you are here and having darshan, his sanction is there. Of course, your desire, because of that he has sanctioned. Otherwise, it is not possible. Even Mahavishnu cannot have darshan of Krishna. Sudur darsham idam. It is so rare to see Krishna that even Mahavishnu, when he comes, अभी हमारे भौतिक सृष्टि में आया तो दर्शन आके कर लेंगे भाई, because गोलोक धाम में तो जा नहीं सकते. Even Mahavishnu aspires to have darshan of Krishna, and he cannot have unless Krishna allows him. That is the first thing. Then the next question that arose in Arjuna's mind. ठीक है, so Mahavishnu knew there is no question of seeing Krishna even after coming to Dwarka. Why he personally came all the way to take away one Brahmana's newborn son? He could have sent somebody, na? Even insignificant, tiny political leaders, they have so many chanchas, so many, you know, assistants. He could have sent one of the assistants. One Vishnu Duta can come. Arjuna realized, not a blade of grass can move without Krishna's sanction. Nobody can harm anyone, can touch anyone without Krishna's sanction. Which means Krishna knew, kaun chori kar raha hai, kyun kar raha hai. Jana do. The third question. Mahavishnu knew he is causing so much trouble to a Brahmana. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana. They are supposed to be very favorably disposed to the Brahmanas. Can you imagine one son dying. Immediately, as soon as the child is born and touched the ground, finished. Second, third, fourth, fifth, and every time the Brahmana would come and blast and blaspheme Maharaj Ugrasen, all you people are impotent fellows, simply standing for namesake in the position. Blast them. Krishna is sitting. Balaram is sitting. Aniruddha, Pradyumna, everyone is sitting. Everyone is keeping quiet. And the Brahmana is such harsh words he is using. Not once, nine times. Ninth time Arjuna happened to be there. He said, forget it. Hey, don't you dare speak like that. Arjun is here, okay? Koi kshatri nahi hai, kya kshatri nahi hai? Abhi dikhata hu tujhe. In that spirit he said, I am going to take care. I said, tu Arjun, Krishna is sitting here. The Brahmana knew who Krishna is. He said, Krishna is sitting here. Balaram, the Supreme Personality of God, is sitting here. Tu, bada uchal kud kya kar raha? That was the mood. He said, you? He said, I am not Krishna. Now, Arjuna had to put some faith in that Brahman. He was completely becoming hopeless. Can you imagine if you lose hope in Krishna, what is your hope? And Arjuna had to do the, impossible. That create hope when he has lost hope in God. He says, hey, I am not Krishna, okay? I am not Balaram. I am Arjun. Acha, where do you get your power from? Mahadev. Acha, theek hai. Some hope. He said, this Gandiva is there. Oh, Mahadev ki kasam. Theek hai. He went. And the next time the child was born, disappeared. So, why did Mahavishnu allow so much torture to this Brahman if he is Brahmanya Deva? Because it is explained, Mahavishnu was so eager to see Krishna that he did not mind temporary inconvenience to Brahmana for the permanent convenience of everyone. We are also appreciating Krishna's glories because of this pastime. So Krishna's darshan is so rare, that opulence is so rare, that is not even found in Vaikuntha. That explanation. And just to give a glimpse of the power, the strength, the opulence of Dwarka, he just gives, forget about others, I'm just going to speak about Krishna's immediate family. Just immediate family. Krishna had just 16,108 wives. And all of them had one palace with a garden and lakes and orchards. Can you imagine? 16,108 queens. Now, there are, in the history we find, some kings who had hundreds of queens. Maharaj Dasharatha also had 353 to be very precise. But all were lamenting because he was spending time with Kaikeyi. He couldn't satisfy everyone. But Krishna, it is described, Narada went to each of the palaces of Dwarka. And Sukadeva Goswami is describing, each of the queens, personally Krishna was reciprocating, so much so, that if at all the wives had a complaint, they had only one complaint. Don't spend too much time with me, others will feel bad. Spend some time with them also. This could have been the only complaint. That was the way Krishna reciprocated with each of these queens. And then, with each queen, he had 10 sons. 16,108 queens. With each of them he had 10 sons and 1 daughter. You can imagine, we want to have a family photograph. Google Earth. Only that way you can capture the whole family. So, that's the glory of Krishna. Amazing thing. And in this particular section is described their children, and among their children, 16 were considered Maharathas, powerful personalities, you know, like invincible totally. So in this part, basically, all the reciprocation of the Lord with the queens, with his family members is described. Now, who is Krishna's family member? It is described in the 11th canto. When Krishna wanted to depart from this planet, he decided to wind up everyone and wind up the whole family and go along with them. He organized by his inconceivable plan that some of his own same sons, Sambha was also there, dressed, other children of Krishna's children, dressed Sambha as a pregnant woman, put some, you know, stuff, some cloth or whatever, and took him in front of Narada, Vishwamitra, all these powerful personalities. And they're asking, she's pregnant and she's very feeling shy to speak to you, sages. Just tell whether it'll be a girl or a boy. You are all Trikala Darshi, you can see past, present and future. You have X-ray vision, so see. Sex detection. Can you find out is a girl, a boy? Making fun of the Vaishnavas. Krishna wanted to teach a powerful lesson. Even while going, he wanted to leave a powerful lesson. Whoever they are. There are two aspects to this pastime. One is the internal aspect. One is the external aspect. Jiva Goswami gives the internal aspect. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the external aspect, what lessons to be learnt. The internal aspect is, Krishna knew, when I depart from this world and wind up my pastime and leave back to the spiritual abode, these people will go mad in love. They'll go mad, they'll just lose their sanity. And they will go wild. And they are so powerful. It's like an elephant going mad. Powerful elephant going mad. It will destroy. So they said, they will create havoc. They will become a burden on the earth. I have come to remove burden. I have removed all the burden, unwanted burden. These people will become a burden. Therefore, when I'm going to go back, I'm going to just make sure that everyone is coming along with me. I'll send everyone, send off before I come. I'll be the last one to go. These powerful warriors. And simultaneously, Krishna also was concerned. People have come from all over. They have left everything. Temporarily resigned from their post and come here. To take part in my pastime for 125 years. All those posts have to be filled up. The fellows who are doing the backup seva must be in tremendous anxiety. Kabare boss chale gaya, aaye nahi abhi tak. He wanted to send back everyone. Even that was another reason. External reason Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives. Krishna, just before departing, wanted to give a very powerful lesson. Even my own family members, my blood connection, if they act in a way which is unbecoming of calling themselves to be my family members, then even I will not leave them. In the sense, my law will be taking care of that. And to show this point, Krishna does multitasking. With one task, he teaches so many lessons. And the sages cursed all these children. Dhani Bapka Iklota Beta, sometimes we say, no? Sometimes people, too much opulence. Too much opulence. And their children, they get spoilt generally because everything is available so easily. And they are born with whatever they speak, they get. Whatever they say, things happen. So there is a, they lose connection with the reality of this world. They are in their own world. And sometimes real shaking up is necessary. Like Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Born to Kuvera, who is treasure of the demigods. They lose touch with reality and of life. And sometimes the harsh treatment is necessary to bring them feet on the ground. So they said, the sages said, an iron club she'll give birth to an iron club, which will become the destruction of the whole family. Fearfully, none of these children went to Krishna. They knew, if I go to Krishna, what I'm going to get? So they went to Ugrasen. For everything else, they would have gone to Krishna. For this, that means they knew. They knew what they did was wrong. Then you approach somebody else who is more. They approach Ugrasen. Ugrasen also did not consult Krishna. Aisa hai kya? Powder karke bhag do samudra mein. He put it in one piece, didn't. And that piece was gulped by a fish. And that fish was caught by a fisherman. And the fisherman sold the fish to a hunter. And the hunter took that iron piece and made it into a nice sharp arrowhead. Which eventually he became an instrument, Jara, to assist Krishna in the pastime of going back to the spiritual world. And those powder came on the seashore and became, you know, iron bamboo sticks, which all these people came and destroyed each other. This is not Madhurena Samapayat. So we'll shift the topic, but I'm just saying that Advaitacharya, Devamrita Maharaj was speaking the other day. Advaitacharya had 6 sons. Achyutananda, 2 others were wonderful devotees. While the others were asar. They became asar. Asar means, it's like a branch that is broken from the tree. It dries up. Even though externally it is connected, just one, maybe one piece of string is just hanging, one fiber, few fibers may be hanging. But it is going to dry up because there is no connectivity, there is no nourishment of the essence of the tree. Nityananda Prabhu, his son Veerbhadra and others, his Nityananda Vamsha, they call themselves Vamsha, Nityananda Vamsha, but they didn't have any substance and they became asar. So we see powerful acharyas, their children. We respect their blood connection, but the real connection, Srila Prabhupada, his children, those who followed his instructions, spiritual children, we worship them. Others we respect, but we worship those who took what he had to actually offer. So in this way, Krishna is making a point. True love, which is what the Mahishis are exhibiting. True love. Ultimately, this is all these pastimes are simply meant for one purpose. The only reason why Krishna comes. External reason is paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya sadhishkritam dharma samsa. These others can also do. His incarnations, his empowered personalities can do. But what he can do, what only he can do, is provoke or evoke the dormant love of God within the heart of every living entity. This is the only purpose of true religion or spirituality. Ultimately, this is the test. Dharmaha su anushthita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyaha na utpadayed yadi ratim shramaye vahi kevalam. All our rituals, all our worship, all our austerities are merely useless labor if at the end of the day we have not developed love for Krishna. Now how do we understand somebody has love? How do we know somebody has love for Krishna? Is there some test by which we can find out this person has so much love? It is from a very superficial level, love goes to a very, very deep level. All these Mahishis, they are exhibiting the very, very deep, very, very profound experience of emotion that is experienced in the heart. It is manifesting as a madness outside. And only those who are very expert in the science of devotion can detect it. Otherwise, one cannot. Ultimately, the emotions of the heart, pure emotions. Bhakti is about emotions. It's not, bhakti is about sentiments. It is not sentimentality. But it is sentiments. But those sentiments are relished within. But it is manifested externally as actions. It is manifested externally as actions. So by the activities, one can find out whether the emotions are actually manifested in a person. Otherwise, all our study of philosophy, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Sarabhauma, and if you can think of something else higher, it's all actually, when Balaramji came and saw Romaharshan sitting on the Vyasasan speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya, he was speaking philosophy, but he had X-ray vision. Just by one little action he could judge that this person does not know how to respect authority or people according to their position. In one of the prayers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sakale sammana korite shakati deho natha yatha yatha. Sakale sammana. Let me respect every living entity. Yatha yatha. Yatha yatha means according to their position. Samadarshi. Samadarshi means equally disposed, respecting every living entity. But externally that respect manifests as different levels according to their position, their relation, etc. You show your love and respect your father in a particular way, your wife in a particular way, your children in a particular way, your neighbor in a particular way, your boss in a particular way. You respect everyone. You show your respect to the ant by not stepping on them at least. Disregarding. He is also an individual. Maybe he has a small vehicle and you have a big vehicle. Just because you are going by, huge trailer. And in front, there is a cycle fellow. He is also an individual. Just because he is small, it doesn't make a difference. How do we do that? Actually, so it is actually the activities which manifest. Are we developing these qualities? Both are essential. The question arises, should we develop qualities first? Or should we develop devotion first? Because by devotion, yasya asti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasate sura. Ultimately, when you have devotion, all good qualities manifest because the nature of the soul is to manifest qualities. But then we have to strive. Tranatapi sunichena tarori vasishena amanina manane. So this is the question. Should we develop qualities first or should we, don't worry about the qualities, develop devotion first, everything else will manifest. What do you think? How many say devotion first? Please raise your hand. How many say qualities first? Democratic country. equal votes practically. How many say both? That is very easy, convenient. Tukka lage. Ye nahi to wo jo lena le lo Maharaj. Pass kara do, aage bada. It is like this garland. Now, each of the flower of this garland can be compared to one quality. But can you have this beautiful garland without the string? The string is that which actually holds all the wonderful qualities together. And that string is actually love for Krishna. And everything else, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati, all other good qualities will manifest. But right now we have no love. In the beginning stage, nitya siddha Krishna, it's there, but it is dormant. It has to be evoked. And to evoke, we have to try to develop qualities. Even though we don't have, we have to develop qualities. We have to force ourselves to become little humble. We are not humble. We are not respectful. Because since time immemorial, we are subordinate to the false ego. And therefore, it is an austerity to develop qualities right now. So yes, as a sadhaka, we have to strive to develop qualities. But those qualities can eternally remain with us if we have the string to hold all of them together in a sustainable way, in a permanent way. We can actually, that quality will become our natural, our nature. Because truly, Atma, being part of Krishna, is godly by nature. All 76% of all qualities of Krishna are dormant within us. It's there. It just have to be uncovered, and the rust has to be removed. That's all. Cheto darpana marjanam. So bhakti also, there is no love. So those lovers of God, what they do, wonderful sadhana, we do it as an austerity. And simultaneously we also strive to develop our act on the quality. I was reading the transcription of one lecture by Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj on Vaishnav Sadachar. And he gives a very interesting understanding. He says, who is to determine what is exactly Vaishnav quality? Did all our acharyas have an international conference and decided bowing down like this is respect? Itna jhukna, panchanga ke ashtanga. How to determine what exactly is proper behavior? He explains, actual Vaishnav etiquette, lifestyle, attitude, behavior, etc. is only in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is only one ingredient, pure love. Everyone loves everyone else unconditionally. Everyone loves Krishna unconditionally. And in relationship to Krishna, they all love each other. And born out of that love, whatever interaction, dealing and relation, that is real etiquette, which is born out of love. That respect that is born out of love as a part of Krishna. This individual is also part of Krishna, very dear to Krishna. So that is the underlying thing when there is love. And from that love, whatever action springs out spontaneously and naturally, that is actually the perfect behavior. And when those great souls or the Lord Himself descends into this material world, and when they interact with each other, their dealings with each other, their response to particular situation, circumstance and condition of life is what we hear. Therefore, hearing the pastimes of the activities of the Lord and His devotees, or the devotees amongst each other. They are person Bhagavat. There is a book Bhagavat and there is a person Bhagavat. You cannot Giya Bhagavata Pada Bhagavata Sthane. Therefore, Srinivas Acharya, if you want to understand Bhagavat, go to person Bhagavat. Because they, as pure lover of God, they are walking Bhagavat. So in Bhagavat, when we read Bhagavatam, we have to see how the Lord dealt with every individual. Sometimes He chastised out of love. Sometimes He appreciated out of love. Sometimes He neglected out of love. But the underlying was that. And therefore, scrutinizing study of these verses and through the purports are given by those who understand. It takes one to know one. Therefore, we take shelter of Acharya's purports to those verses. Otherwise, it is a little bewildering. Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bujhai. Sometimes it is very bewildering. Why Lord Nityananda acts like this? Why Madhavendra Puri acted like this? Why sometimes Prabhupada dealt in this way, particular way? Sometimes it may be a little bewildering or confusing. But then the purports actually are like light. They throw light and bring it up. I was recently at Dwarka for a yatra, and we all happened to go to Porbandar, which is, other than being the birthplace of Mahatma Gandhi, it is also the place where Sudama resided. Sudama was from that place. Very intimate Gurukul associate of Lord Krishna. They both went to Ujjain and stayed in the ashram of Sandipani Muni for 64 days. Can you imagine? Sudama closely associated with Krishna for 64 days. So in that beautiful pastime, by just studying the life of Sudama, we can learn so much. Irrespective of whether somebody is a grahastha or a brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasi, whatever. Because all these are designations. Gopi, Bhartur, Pada, Kamalayor, Das, Dasa, Naham, Vipro, Nachana. Ultimately, we are servant of the servant. Irrespective, depending on particular ashram where we are situated, we have to act. Externally, we have to act according to whichever ashram we are. That is like the Lakshman Rekha for us. We can't artificially act on a platform that we are not. But keeping that, but developing this thing within, that's actually, development of love. So it is described, Sudama, it's amazing. Sudama's name is also not mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It just says, there was a Brahmana who was ugly dressed. Kuchaila. Bracketed is written Sudama. And only when I went to Porbandar, I found out his wife's name was Sushila. So, he was a Brahman, and after Gurukul he came here, got married, and he settled there. Sudama was a very poverty-stricken Brahmana. That's what we hear, isn't it? Poverty-stricken Brahmana. It's not that situationally he was poverty-stricken. Voluntarily he remained like that. Sometimes you say, so there was a poor Brahmana. But in Brahmana meant to be poor. Anyway, Lakshmiji's curse is also there to brew. So Sudama used to be there and his wife. Sometimes I have seen dramas performed by some people and they show Sudama's wife, you know, all the children are harassing her, mummy, kuch bhook, kuch to do, kuch to. And she's like an irritable, nagging wife. Kuch karo. Why don't you do something? Go. She pushes him. Get out and get something. This is how they actually depict. If they don't read the purports of the Acharyas. It never mentions how many children they had. But it mentions Sudama was a very poor Brahman. And he was happy. Self-realized. Contented. Completely satisfied. A blissful person. And it is described, his wife was more austere than him. As good as him, or even more austere than him, because only after feeding him, if at all something was there, if something was left, she would eat, otherwise she would fast. I know one person who expressed his parents, very poor background, and somehow the situation they were financially one time they went low. He said, I have seen, we were children, and he said, my father would come from work, and our mother would feed all the children and make them go to sleep. Father would come a little late, and mother would try to serve the father. And the father would say, tell the wife, get all the pots and keep it in front of me. Before you serve me, bring all the pots. Because I want to know what you have kept for yourself. She said, Chinta mat karo, aap lo to sahi sab. Hey, bahut hai, maloom hai, la idhar. Dikha mere ko. With tears in her eyes, she would bring and keep. There was hardly anything. And seeing that, he would take only half. And in that also, he would leave little bit. Knowing that she's, taking care of all the children and she's so hungry. This was the state of Sudama. And the wife, she didn't worry about herself. She said, I don't mind, but I feel so much distressed that I'm not able to sufficiently feed my husband. For herself, she would never have told Sudama to go. But she loved him. And to love means to serve in a pleasing way. She wanted to please him. And she knew it would be so nice if I can give him at least 2 square meals a day. But she knew also that he was such a person, he would die but never beg anything other than pure devotion to the Lord, that's all. He knew, she knew. She was in a dharma sankat. He will not listen to me, but I have to push him. Her love to serve him was stronger than his love for renunciation. In this way, she actually captured him with her service attitude. And she one day, it is described in the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, with distress and trembling with fear, she approached Sudama. Why she was distressed, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. She was distressed to see that she was not able to serve him nicely. And she was trembling with fear because she was going to propose something which was totally against Sudama's principle of life. He wouldn't do anything for himself. He would rather die than beg somebody for something. He would completely depend on the Lord. Whatever came by providence, he would accept. And she knew all the arguments that he is going to give. And she approached. She said, Prabhu, Krishna, the supreme goddess, the husband of the goddess of fortune, is your dear friend. Matlab, indirectly telling, number one, aise dost ko rakke aisa kyun bhikari jaise jee rahe ho. This is the underlying, huh? She didn't say that. I heard, my dear Prabhu, that Krishna, the goddess of fortune, is your friend. And also I have heard that he is very, very favorably disposed to the Brahmanas. Oh, Brahmanya Hitayacha. Indirectly telling, I know you will not go, because even though he is the goddess of fortune. But don't worry, you are a Brahmana. And he is very favorably disposed to Brahmana. And then he may say, but I am not a Brahmana. Kya quality? Kuch nahi, I am a wretched fellow. She says, and not only is he favorable to Brahmana, but he is very, very disposed to those who surrender to him, those who approach him. Main aaya ek bhikari. Like we come in front of her. See, you don't have to ask, you just go there. And just surrender. You may say, Sudama may say, I am not at all a surrendered fellow. No, you just go there. He knows. He is omniscient Lord. He will, just by looking at you, he will understand. Kya tere ko jarurat hai? Teri sthiti kya hai? Apne aap samajh jayenge. Hoshyar ke liye ishara kaafi hai. So, in so many ways, so expertly, without point blank telling, you know, in a very flat and very harsh way, she's so, because of love, when the underlying principle is love, Krishna gives you the intelligence how to speak in a way to genuinely serve that person. So she spoke in such a sweet and convincing way. Sudama realized ultimately what is the agenda. But he said, he understood her situation. Just to please her, he said, I will go. Against my principle, but I'll go. And she did it just to please him. What a relationship. Both are simply wanting to serve each other, please each other. And born out of that, they're sold out to each other. This is not like a henpecked husband to an irritable wife. Actually, Sudama didn't want it, but he just wanted to please her. Because she is doing so much. As a gentle husband becomes subordinate to a chaste wife, the Lord becomes subordinate to his devotees. Lord says in the 9th canto. So similarly, Sudama agreed, I'll go. And also he said, he saw, see another thing, within this he saw an opportunity, wow, an opportunity to go and meet Krishna. Just like Akrura. Akrura was fearful, how can I go to Kamsa, Kamsa will get angry. When Kamsa himself said, go to Krishna, I said, achha, chance mila hai. Chalo, I get to you this opportunity. Heart of heart he said, main mar jaunga, but I will not ask Krishna anything. If he gives, okay, that's up to him. I am not going to ask. But because my wife is telling, I will go. But he said, kuch toh le jana hai baba. She begged 4 handfuls of flat rice from neighbors. Like Madhukari. One fist from 4. And she, it is described, she packed it in a soiled cloth. This fellow will not say, I know. By seeing the torn cloth, Krishna will understand. Iska kya paristhiti hai? She was smart. She was worldly wise. She was not naive. Sometimes think devotees, people think that devotees are too naive. Super smart they are. Super smart. They always have the last laugh. So, she tied it in a torn cloth. It is described. She tied it in a torn cloth. Nahi diya to phad diya hoga thoda sa. Ghis ke thoda. So that if he doesn't speak, just by seeing that packet, samajh aata hai kya paristhiti. And Sudama went. Sudama thinking whether I'll be accepted. He went. And he accompanied the local brahmanas. This is another thing. How Krishna's Dwarka was. When Brahma came, he was stopped. Brahma was stopped at the gate. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Leela. When Brahma came, Brahma was stopped. Kone? Brahma. 1 minute. Lord, Brahma is there. Kaunsa Brahma poocho? Naam kya hai? Brahma is a post. Naam kya hai there? Kya? Char mukh wala, Chatush Kumar ka pita. Achha. आई कार्ड दिया ना, अभी तो देता हूं. Nobody could enter, but Sudama entered effortlessly along with other brahmanas because it was a standing order to all the security fellows of Dwarka. कोई भी ब्राह्मण आए ना, छोड़ देने का, पूछने का नहीं. वो ब्राह्मण ही उसका आई कार्ड है अंदर आने के लिए. No security check. So he entered first gate, second gate, third gate. Then he entered the palace. Palaces of the queens. Can you imagine going inside? And when he saw the palace, it is described according to Vishwachakruti Thakur Padma Puran, it was the palace of Rukmini Devi. The first palace that he came across. And he was experiencing Brahmananda. Just by being in that atmosphere, he was experiencing spiritual bliss. And sometimes they show event and that God came and said, no, it doesn't say that. Bhagavad says, Krishna was lying on the bed of Rukmini Devi, being massaged and being, Chamar Seva was going on. Suddenly, in the courtyard, he saw that a Brahmana has come. A poor Brahmana has come. Krishna stood up, jumped out of the bed, ran out, embraced Sudama, bathed him with tears. Krishna personally went out. It's not that somebody had to come and tell me. As soon as he saw, he went out to receive him, embraced him, bathed him with his tears. Sudama was not sure whether he's doing it as another Brahman or does he really know who I am? Because we are meeting after many, many years. We have not updated, on the WhatsApp. Our group is not there. So does he recognize me actually? But anyway, nevertheless, he was just kind of... And Sudama was taken by Krishna and placed on the bed of Rukmini Devi. And a beautiful pedestal was brought and kept for keeping the feet of Sudama. And the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, the husband of Goddess of Fortune, brought a pot and washed the feet of this. Sudama didn't have slippers. He was walking all the way from the streets of Porbandar. And then Dwarka, of course. Dwarka is a transcendental place, but still. He washed his feet and then took it on his forehead and did prakshalan to everyone. And Rukmini Devi, personally, the goddess of fortune, was fanning him. Because she understood. She didn't know who this person is. She had no idea. But if my husband is serving him, I want to be assisting him. If he is wanting to please this person, I will assist. She didn't say, kone pehle batao na, kya isko charan varan dhone, iska pani mere sar pe mat dalo. You have to kind of connect it to today's world. अब तुम्हारा दोस्त है जी, तुम कुछ भी करो, मेरे को क्यों बुलाते हो चामर करने के? तो तुम जाने वो जाने, आपरा तुम लोग संभालो. कोई दोस्त है, पुराना दोस्त है. आई एम नॉट इन ए मूड, मैं विच डोंट डिस्टर्ब. शी पर्सनली केम एंड शी ऑल्सो विदाउट इवन नोइंग हु इट इज, बट इफ इट इज व्हाट माई हस्बैंड इज वर्शिपिंग हिम, आई नीड टू डू दैट, बस दैट्स ऑल. शी वाज डूइंग इट. All the palace people wondering, Kone, who is this person? Can you imagine the queen? And she was the topmost queen of all the 16,108, the principal queen. And the Supreme Lord Krishna, he is massaging his feet and taking the thing on his head. And then Krishna sat on the same bed, held his hand, and they both started discussing, updating each other. Krishna knew that Sudama is confused. Ye koi brahman ki seva kar raha hai, mujhe malum hai kya main kaun hu? He said, my dear friend, do you remember Gurukul days? Then he understood. Acha, Krishna knows me. He said, do you remember we were there in the Gurukul together? Those good old days, how we used to serve. And then Krishna speaks certain words. He wants to, in everything, he wants to set a, you know, forever, of course, Krishna Leela is Nitya Leela. These are all eternal realities. He is absolute truth. What standards he set is an absolute reality. So he's telling, you know, we remember how we served our guru. And then he said, first guru is the person who gives birth to us. Janmadata, Pita, Guru. First guru. Second guru is one who initiates, gives the Gayatri mantra and gives us some dharmic activities. But the ultimate guru is that person who speaks knowledge about the Supreme Personality of God. Knowledge about me, Krishna says. One who gives that is as good as me. And simply to please and satisfy. And he says, no other ritual, no other penance, no other qualifications, brahminical, this, nothing pleases me and satisfies me as much as the satisfaction I get when someone pleases the spiritual master. Yes, Krishna is saying these words. Everything else is secondary. And then he said, do you remember, Sudama, how one time we were asked by Guru Mata to go and collect wood? It was turn by turn they would go. So it was their turn. So they went. And today also, that place, Ujjain, is the place where Sandipani Muni asked. It's called Ankapad. And from there, about 40 kilometers away, is the place called Narayan Gaon, where Krishna and Sudama, actually, that tree is still there, that bundle from which tree has grown, that tree is still there. Krishna and Sudama went to collect the wood. So, they went, and an untimely storm came. It was December month. Storms didn't come, windy storm and rainy storm. But untimely storm came. And they were far away to collect wood. They had gathered wood, actually. Each one of them had gathered a big bundle of wood. And it started profusely raining. They had to climb up on the tree and they were shivering and sitting there because all land had up, you know, low and high level land, everything had become equal because of the water. They couldn't even distinguish. Whole night they had to spend there. They were roaming around, holding each other and holding the bundle of wood in one hand and holding each other with the other hand. And our Gauranga Prabhu, when he was speaking, he gave a very amazing understanding which really struck my heart. He said, holding of the wood represents the mission of the Guru. And holding each other means relationship with our equals. Balancing both is very important. Sometimes trying to please the Guru in her mission, if you are disregarding, disrespecting and neglecting our responsibility to each other, just to be, you know, get the attention, it is not pleasing to the Guru. And if it is just holding hand till death do us part, keep on holding and throw the stick away. Imagine if both of them had gone back and beta tum log aa gaye bahut acha lakdi laaye ki nahi lakdi bhul gaye guru ji are khaak jisliye bheja tha nahi laaye pakad ke aaye ek dusre ko. But if they had gone with the wood, beta Sudama ki Sudama nahi malum lakdi laaya. अरे यार लकड़ी छोड़ सुदामा को ला. So if we please the guru by performing wonderful activities on the mission, but in the process stamp on the head and, you know, disregard, guru will say ठीक है बहुत अच्छा है, you will tolerate us. And we have just a material relationship, partying together. But mission is kept aside. That will also not please. So this is the balance. This is the reason when Sandipani Muni came, the next morning, he came in search. And when he saw Krishna and Sudama, one hand holding each other and another hand holding the wood, he had tears in his eyes and he embraced both of them and bathed them with his tears. And he said, "My dear children, I am so much pleased and satisfied by you. So much pleased and satisfied by you. Body is so dear to everyone. But you have neglected your body to serve each other and serve the mission. Serve my order and to serve each other. You have neglected and put your body in such an austere position just to do it." He said, "Just that one thing has completely bowled me over." He said, "I give you profuse blessings. My blessings is, may all your desires be fulfilled. Because you are so focused on serving each other and serving the mission, what is your desire? To serve each other and the mission. And therefore, I see that you have such pure desire. Let all your desires be fulfilled. And everything that you have learned from me will eternally reside in your heart. And everything you speak will be the essence of all the scriptures." Sometimes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would speak such profound truths. People would ask, "Where is it? Which dictionary you refer? Which scriptures you refer?" He said, "This is the lotus feet of dust of the lotus feet of my guru. That's my dictionary and that's my scripture." Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadu. And actually Sudama says, and then in this way they came back. And Sudama says, Sudama knew exactly who Krishna is. Sudama says, "My Lord, actually you don't need any of these. Do you think you need to go to a guru?" When actually Krishna and Balaram and Sudama are studying, Krishna and Balaram are sitting under the feet of Guru, Chandipani Muni, Naradji is going by the sky and he looks and laughs. Prabhu teri mahima parampar. He says, sometimes the rivers flow into the ocean. Foolish children think, if the rivers don't supply water, the ocean will dry up. But intelligent man understands, where are the rivers coming from? It is the ocean water that goes up in the sky, forms the cloud, strikes against the mountain, becomes a river and comes back. Similarly, Krishna, praptasya kalyana guna aranava, he gave it to Brahma, the cloud. He hit Vyasdev, the mountain, and from there in that parampara, Guru has come, and today Sandipani Muni is giving back to Krishna. Beta, A, B, C, D, bolo. Are vedaisya sarvair aham vedyo, vedanta krit veda videvacha aham. So Sudama says, "My Lord, I know this is your pastime." And the storm, are the Upanishad tell, vayu chalati mad bhayat. Wind does not dare flow if you don't want it. So you wanted a storm. You wanted an untimely storm because you wanted to show to the whole world the principle, the benefit, the advantage, the good fortune, the opportunity we get to serve a guru, such a privilege. That is all. Otherwise, it's none of it. In this way, they are talking. And then suddenly, Krishna says, "Achha, Babi ji ne kuch bheja mere liye?" Sudama. And then another thing Krishna says. He said, "Sudama, Krishna knew what is the nature of Sudama." Right from children, you know. By childhood only you can know the person's nature. How clean he is. How disciplined, how organized. Krishna says, "Sudama, I knew from your childhood, you are not at all inclined to sense gratification. You are already a renounced fellow. You are attached to detachment. I know it. And by looking at you, I can make out you are little, you know, kuchaila, little avdhut. You are not bothered about dhoti is tied this way or that way or tied or not. Durvasa. So he said, I know that. Did you get married? अगर पत्नी होती तो कम से कम अच्छा कपड़ा डाल के तेरे को भेजती. शादी किया है कि नहीं? अगर किया है तो वो बेचारी का क्या हालत होगा? तू तो डिटैच्ड है, उसका हालत क्या होगा? समथिंग टू दैट इफेक्ट. ही इज आस्किंग, फॉलोइंग द पैथ ऑफ धर्म, डिड यू गेट प्रॉपरली मैरिड? डू यू हैव एन आश्रम? दिस आश्रम और दैट आश्रम. डोंट से ब्रह्मस्थ, अरे गृहस्थ और ब्रह्मचारी, विच आश्रम यू आर? सो यू आस्क्ड हिम, हाउ आर यू सेटल्ड एंड इज एवरीथिंग ऑल राइट? एनीवे, हैज एनीथिंग, हैव यू ब्रॉट समथिंग फॉर मी? यू कम ऑल द वे, हैव यू ब्रॉट समथिंग? सीइंग ऑल दिस ऑपुलेंसेस, सुदामा फेल्ट सो शेम अशेम्ड. कैन यू इमेजिन गोइंग देयर एंड टेलिंग, क्या लाया हूं मालूम, ये फटेला, अरे सब गिर गया, फट गया, थोड़ा बचा है. He was feeling so embarrassed, he didn't want to show it. He was just kind of, you know, covered it with a shawl. He had tucked it to his waist and he covered it with his shawl. Kuch nahi, kuch nahi. Nahi, nahi, kuch toh laya hoga yaar, kuch toh, itne dur se aaya, kuch toh laya. Kuch nahi. And he was putting his head down and, you know, like very, very shy. Krishna was, first he smiled, then he opened his mouth a little extra. And then he laughed. Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of smiling and laughing. Did anyone in any other scripture have you heard? There are different levels of laughing. From minimal smile. Minimal smile means the lips go a little bit. Nothing is visible. Lips don't part. Just this is called one particular name. Then, little extra. Then, front two teeth visible. And then full teeth visible. That's called another. And then, you go up and down, your belly is shaking, your shoulder is shaking. This is called another laughter. So Krishna is gradually first smiling. Then, you know, a little extra, smile extra, and then he's laughing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives purport to why he's doing it. First he's telling, mujhe malum hai tu kya laya hai, par tu chhipa raha hai, I know. And he's telling, I know you're not going to ask me, but I'm going to give you. And when he's laughing, he's telling, how long you show off this poverty? Kal se dekhe, bhikari bhikari, kuch waste nahi rahega. Therefore he is laughing. बोले जितना नाटक करना कर ले, अभी कल से नहीं चलेगा, कुछ कपड़ा नहीं, तेरी पत्नी नहीं छोड़ेगी कपड़ा पहनने को. In this way, Krishna is smiling and laughing. And then he says, and he snatches away that. And he opens that cloth bag and takes one, four, it is described, he had four handful. He took one handful and just ate it. Even before taking, Krishna says one more thing. If a devotee with love and devotion offers me insignificant thing, it is very significant for me. But if someone has no devotion, even if he offers something very significant, it is insignificant for me. And then he says the same shloka, 9.26 Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktyat prayachati tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnami. I eat it. And then he says, and then he takes it and eats. And after eating, he's about to eat the second handful. Rukmini Devi stops. Now here is a very, very subtle etiquette aspect. Imagine a rich man is sitting there and his friend, old friend, poor friend has come. And he's offering something to eat. And the rich man eats it. And the wife says, "Ichi." Think of how bad he will feel. First of all, he's hesitating. He's dying not to give it. And Krishna wanting to eat. And Rukmini Devi is also knowing that it is dry, flat rice. It's going to hurt my Lord's mouth. But she doesn't want to hurt Sudama. She wants to stop Krishna. At the same time, she wants to make sure that everything is done properly. This is Vaishnavatic, Dharma Sankat. In Vaishnava, following Vaishnava etiquette, sometimes there is a big Dharma Sankat. How to do it without displeasing, but get what is to be done, done. Rukmini holds the hand of Krishna and looks at Sudama as if to say, "Are Prabhu, hamare liye bhi kuch chhodo? Aapke 16,108 raniya hai. Ek ek dana bhi kahenge to sabko nahi milega. Mahaprasad aapka." As if to say, "We want something for ourselves also. Let us eat. Because palace mein so many log, all the servants are watching. They also need Mahaprasad." So Sudama won't feel bad. At the same time, she's looking at Krishna. She says, "My Lord, with one morsel, the way you have reciprocated, more than enough. I know you're fully satisfied. Your satisfaction comes by devotion and not the number of mutti you have eaten." And she looks at the dasis to say, "My Lord cannot digest this kind of food." This is multitasking, Rukmini Devi. How beautifully she handles every situation. As I said, when there is a genuine desire to serve everyone, Krishna gives us the good intelligence, how to respond in a way that nobody is offended, everyone is satisfied, and your work is done. It requires tremendous service attitude. Sometimes we see, you know, there are contradictory situations brought by different parties. And sometimes you have to give a solution which is satisfying to everyone. It is impossible materially, but spiritually it is possible. Every party can be satisfied when actually there is a genuine service, how best I can serve every individual for their ultimate benefit. So Rukmini Devi in this way takes it away. Krishna, and Krishna gives him one betel nut and one cow. That's all. He didn't give him any money. Ab ye gaay ko kaun khilayega? Isko dekhbhal karne ka? Ab bhai khud hi khane ke liye nahi hai. Ab gaay ko kaun chara kaun khilayega? He doesn't give him anything. And next day Sudama is leaving. Sudama is leaving. He never asked. Sudama never asked. And Krishna didn't give. Sudama is going back. Imagine, in our relationship, we have so many expectations from people, right? And when expectations are not fulfilled, we feel so hurt. Sudama could have complained. Kya aya, itna nata karta hai, pair dhoya, charan ko liya, chamar kiya, khana khilaya, ek paisa je dakshina ko diya nahi. Ek gaay deke bheja, usko khilane mein kaun khilayega? You know what Krishna, what Sudama is thinking? This is amazing thing. Sudama is thinking, what a good fortune. I got to meet Krishna. That's all. He's only seeing the good part from in a silver lining in the cloud. Even in the darkest cloud, see the silver lining. He said, Krishna treated me with such love, such affection. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she fanned me, this useless, unqualified person. Oh no, he was so thankful. And he, while saying, he said, "I know why Krishna didn't give me anything. Because I know," Kunti Devi says in Srimad Bhagavatam, something to that effect he was thinking, "Janma Aishwarya Shuta Srivir Edhamana Madhapuma." He knows, Krishna knows, if I get wealth, I will get puffed up and I will lose my devotion. Krishna is so much concerned. He loves me. Therefore, knowing how fallible I am to the influence of too much wealth, he didn't give me anything. Thank you, Krishna. Tatenukampam sujamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam. This is a pure devotee. This is dealings of love. No complaint. Rather gratitude for whatever got, whatever little benefit. If this attitude is there, how can there be conflict? In a true Vaishnava society, if this is the attitude underlying everything is pure love of serving and trying to please, how can there be difficulties? What is the difficulty? As Prabhupada said. And then he goes back. And he's not able to recognize. He said, Ghar to mera idhar hi tha. Even today, right in the middle of Porbandhan, very, very jam-packed area and developed and so much modernization and so many, at least over 2 acres of land, free Sudama's temple is there. Even today it's very costly, that place. 2 acres of land, beautiful lawn, and just one temple there in the middle, wonderful facility. You can imagine what it was 5,000 years ago. And the amazing thing was, he saw everything and immediately said, Oh, Krishna must have done this. Krishna is so clever. And why did Krishna do this? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna was feeling ashamed to give the wealth that he gave to Sudama. Because Sudama went extra and begged something from others to give Krishna a gift. And Krishna wants to reciprocate. Ya yatha mam prapadyante. Then he should also, whatever he has, in addition he has to beg from somebody else. Only then it will be equal to what Sudama has given. And Krishna was feeling, even if I give a wealth that is better than Indra, it is still, compared to my status, it is insignificant compared to what Sudama has given. Krishna was feeling so obliged, so shy to give only this much, which was better than even Indra's opulence. Just like the cloud feels so shy. The farmer is serving me, therefore it comes in the middle of the night, showers and goes away. Similarly, Krishna was thinking, I am reciprocating so little with Sudama for what he has done. As he told the gopis, na parayeham. O gopis, you have exclusively loved me. I can't do that to you. I can't do that. If Krishna were to tell the gopis, I exclusively love you, how could he say that? Because he loves Yashoda also. He loves Nanda Maharaj also. He loves the gopas. He loves the cows. He loves everyone. But still he loves exclusively everyone. As if he loves only them. That's Achintya Shakti. But that's Krishna's feeling. He felt like that. And the amazing part. And then all the Mangalavadya started and everyone was playing. And they came to receive him. And he was telling, Kisko, piche dekho, Kisko. Aapko, bulaye. Mataji bula rahi hai. Mataji, kon mata? And she walks in. Within a day, she was so emaciated, more than Sudama. Her veins were also visible. But within a day, by the special effect of Krishna's mercy, she was shining like a Vaikuntha woman. She had become so beautiful. Unless the servant had brought her and she had come from that household, Sudama would not have recognized her. Tu kaun hai? Patni ko bhej. And as soon as she came, of course, she was so kind of cultured. She just looked at Sudama. She bowed down her head. She didn't say, "Hi, darling, you did so much for me." In front of everyone, she could have said, "Wow, you did, like really." She just said, "Andar baatchit karenge, chalo." As soon as she touched Sudama, suddenly Sudama also became like a... Suddenly he changed. Till then he was like this. Thin and skinny. as soon as she touched. And it is explained why Krishna did not transform both of them together. She would not have recognized her husband. And if she ran and embraced someone, and by chance if it was not Sudama, it would have been a little difficult. So therefore, Krishna waited, confirmed, apne yanaha, abhi touch, and then immediately Sudama was transformed. Then they went in, and it is described, even though they were amidst all the wonderful opulences, Sudama was exactly the same. Which clearly shows he did this simply to please her wife. Please his wife. And the amazing thing, she also was satisfied only in serving him. It didn't really matter to them. They were real renunciates. Truly speaking, they were the highest renunciates. Even though they were in material situation externally, a household life, but they were as good as any other renunciates in terms of their consciousness. Facility was not there, they were serving each other, serving the Lord, and everything was there, they were serving. Nothing changed in their life other than the fact that externally they had wonderful facility to offer and do that service. So in this way, I thought there is something to speak, since there was a lot of scope, not much in the purport. It gave me a freedom to turn my bat and hit the ball in any direction as long as it is within the framework of the scriptures. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.